Alaska's Newsmakers.
Action Line, KINY.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Action Line through KINY. I am your host, Jordan Lewis. And joining me in the studio, I have Senator Jesse Kiel. Senator, how are you doing?
Good morning, Jordan. We've got a little April snow out there. How could we be any better?
You know, I was seeing that coming down yesterday, and I was like, you know, it can always be worse. It could be middle of winter snow.
Nothing I have to shovel yet.
Exactly. So a lot of this our talk today is admittedly going to be a bit of catch-up for me. It's kind of me getting a sense of some of the things that have been going on while I've been away, although there are a few notable things that did happen that I was aware of that I wanted to catch up with you about. The first one of those was the failure to override the SB 140 veto. So I want to talk to you about that firstly.
Sure. That was the education formula bill, right? That was going to put a durable increase to education formula per student and for pupil transportation, and then make some other changes, many of them good, a couple of them definitely compromises. And the House and the Senate worked like crazy on that, and the negotiators who cut the final agreement, the final compromises, worked really hard to include the governor. And the governor, I think it's fair to say, did not particularly participate in that process, and he vetoed it when it came to his desk. So we tried to override that veto, and it takes, because that's a regular bill, substantive law, that takes two-thirds of the legislature in a joint session, takes 40 votes. We had 39. So that was really disappointing. You might be able to tell I voted to override the governor's veto there. So we are now in a very difficult position. At a minimum, we're going to put money for schools in the budget. The governor gets none of the changes in law he wanted. We're not getting any of the changes in law we wanted, and it's this inefficient way to do school funding where schools can't necessarily budget on it the following year, and they don't know whether they're going to get it until the governor gets the budget and either signs it or line item vetoes that some of that money, which is what he did last year. It's much better to have it in the law. That's what we're trying to do. We came very, very close, one vote away on that veto override. We're going to keep working on that, Jordan, but I'll just be real honest with you. It gets a lot harder from here because the governor didn't participate in the negotiations and the compromise, and then he vetoed the bill, effectively saying, I haven't gotten all the things I want. Some of those things he does not have the votes for. I think some of them are very bad ideas. There are things in that bill I compromised on. I don't think they're great. But they're not the end of public schools in Alaska. They're survivable, even if they're not good uses of money or not good policy. They're okay enough. But the things that really are very, very bad ideas, he didn't have the votes for. So the votes to support the governor's veto, there were a lot more of them proportionally in the House than in the Senate. So the House now has a job to do. They have to come up with a proposal that the governor can support that can have the votes on their own floor, and then they can talk. They can also talk to the Senate about getting the votes for it. But the governor and those who backed him made it much, much harder.
Gotcha, which then really raises the question of how do we try and move forward from where we're at now? I mean, obviously, like you've said, the House is now working on its bill for education funding, but that still raises a lot of questions.
Yeah, you know, the compromise is an art, right? You have to have some principles and some lines. And for everybody, they're different. And for every district in the state, they're different, right? Each legislator gets elected by the voters to represent their values. And so there are certain things that I'm not going to be able to turn around and tell the voters of northern southeast Alaska, I was okay with that in your name. Other things, I can say, you know, that's not great, but it got us to $680 a kid plus pupil transportation money. We've been effectively raiding the operating money to pay the buses because costs go up. So we need both. There are places you can compromise. There are places where your principles won't let you. Everybody has that. The art of this is getting to 21 votes in the House, 11 in the Senate, and the governor signing or at least letting it, not vetoing a bill. If any one of those three entities just won't play, just won't work? Well, they either get overridden, which we did not have the votes to do, or nothing happens, and they don't get any of the things they want either. The problem, Jordan, is we got kids in pick your grade, right? The what's the cliche? You don't get a second chance at second grade. You're older. Mm-hmm. You had a year of trying to learn in a classroom of, God help us, 30, 32 kids? I mean, whew, that's tough enough in eighth grade. I can't imagine how teachers are doing it. And the education of our children, the next bunch of entrepreneurs starting businesses, the next bunch of workers working at your business, right? The people who are going to be the next who are the next generation of Alaskans coming up, are behind. We're all shorted for that. You know, I got an email from somebody who said, you talk too much about education. I don't have any kids. And I thought to myself, you know, I heard you complain the other day when you weren't happy at a local business. I got bad news. You need well-educated people starting those businesses and working in them and being your fellow customers at them and taking the state jobs and taking the mine jobs and working in tourism and you name it, right, and being the next artist and the next whatever. Or we're going to stagnate here. And the things you like, you aren't going to get because we all depend on one another in a society and we got to compete with each other and cooperate with each other and support each other and do the things that make it America, right? It's just as simple as that. It matters to all of us.
Definitely. I think you put it very succinctly there where, you know, as a society, you need those networks. You need to be able to have those resources to develop folks and have those things that you want. But oftentimes you'll have, you know, folks out there who don't, that doesn't seem to quite connect for them. They're just like, well, I just wanted the thing. I just wanted that to be done. I don't care about the people who do it. I just want the thing to be done.
Yeah, it's too valuable to let slide. And so here we are in this much more difficult position. Here's what I can tell you on the Senate side, Jordan. I'm pretty confident that we are going to put the money in the budget so that the schools can operate next year. Now, I can't give you a great sense of what the governor might do with that money. Last year, we put $680 increase per kid in education. The governor whacked it in half, right? This year, I think we're going to do it again, and we're going to look real hard at the governor. I think several of the people who voted to sustain his veto, who backed him up, believe they get another shot at this. There will be another bill, and they'll get the money for education and some changes in education law that they want. And, I kind of hope they're right, but I fear they're not. If they don't, if we get a bill and the governor signs it, the money goes through, all of this will be, politicians did dramatic things and whatever. The schools are open and the class sizes aren't god-awful huge. But if they're wrong, and I'm starting to fear they're wrong, it's harder from here. Then that vote on the veto override, that's the last vote you get to cast and take back to the people you're accountable to, the voters, right? We're supposed to be accountable. You're supposed to have to defend yourself when you go door to door and somebody's running against you. That's how this works, right? This isn't callow politician stuff. That's representative democracy, a republic form of government. So those folks are going to have to point at their veto override vote and explain to the voters why, you know, in Fairbanks, I'll give you an example, they worked really hard to get F-35 squadrons up there. The Fairbanks School Board is going to have to close the elementary school on base. Now, go ask those people for their votes.
You know, and it's funny because my last education question I had for you sort of ties into some of these funding concerns, which is, I'm assuming you followed along with the federal Department of Education calling out in the state, being like, hey, you're supposed to, you know, delineate so much money in the state, having its sort of defense in that front. And I want to get your take on that.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's just starting to bubble up into public consciousness. I've been working on it since February, maybe early February. And this is about some of the money that Uncle Sam sent to states to help keep schools open during COVID, right? Ballpark $350, $360 million to Alaska, right? And that was a couple of 3 years, right, that got spread over. And you hear names like the ARPA money or the ESSER money, and it's got different names. It came in different federal bills. But here's what the Fed said. They said, listen, here is all this money, hundreds of millions of dollars. We have a couple of rules for you. And one of them is for this no match required, money help you keep your schools open, help prevent learning loss in COVID. We all know how much kids are struggling, even with everything we did, right? Imagine how much worse it would be if we just closed schools. But so this money helped a lot. And Uncle Sam said, your poorest districts, the districts with the most poor kids, I should say, struggling kids financially, they can't lose money, right? However else you fund schools, one condition of getting this hundreds of millions of free dollars is that those poorest districts can't lose money year over year. And every state in the union is done with this. They have either they didn't have a problem or they made some adjustments in how they handed out the cash, or afterwards they went, oh, we came up a little bit short. Here is some cash to make up for it to the poorest districts. You know, a little drib and drab here, balance it out. Alaska is the only state. 49 others plus Washington, D.C. So, you know, when I say 51, I'm referring to D.C. as well. 50 others are done. It's just Alaska now. In December, the Fed sent Alaska a letter and said, you know, we've been talking for a while. You haven't done the thing. Based on the numbers you've given us, based on some census information, and you sent us a plan that said these tiny little rural districts, the remotest, by the way, the poorest districts, most, you know, spread out districts in Bush, Alaska. Yeah, there's five categories of those. You can just exclude. Forget it. They don't count. Yeah, maybe they lost money, but they're so small, we're going to let you write them off. State of Alaska. You asked, we say yes. And then they said, here are three districts you owe some money under this calculation. These were the terms of your grant. And the state executive branch pushed back and said, no, you're doing this wrong. And they appealed and they reshuffled and they rejiggered, and the feds are incredibly accommodating on this. You hear all this about federal bureaucrats, very rigid, right? Very. These guys said, you know what? You adjust the census numbers how you want. You got another factor to figure in there? Tell us what it is. Yeah, we'll talk to you. You want to leave some elements of your funding formula out and not consider those dollars? Okay. Within reason, yeah, sure. Right? All kinds of adjustments. Over and back and forth and back and forth. At one point, I was told that the State Department of Ed and the Federal Department of Ed were talking almost every day. And then nothing for a while. And I ended up talking. I was trying to help with this because there was some money that was slated for Juno in that first letter. One-time money, one shot only, but you know, Juno has a negative fund balance, and so they could use any cash, right? I'm doing everything I can. And the Fed said, okay, you promised you'd get this dealt with. You haven't. And I was talking to the federal folks. I said, can they really ask for money this late in your session? I said, yes. Yes, let me work with you. Let me help. We want to make this work. And the feds finally said, all right, enough is enough. Here are the numbers you sent us. Here's the last set of appeals that the executive branch sent in. Based on those, instead of our December letter that said $7.8 million to true this up statewide, it's going to be $22 million in year one. Jordan, let me just ask you a question. If you wrote up your tax forms and it said, oh, I have $1,000, man, would you then write in an appeal and say to Uncle Sam, by golly, no, I need to pay $3,000?
No, I'm not actively going to pay more money than I needed to the first time.
I can't figure out why the state did that, why the executive branch did that. But that's what they did. And then when they got the letter that said, okay, based on what you sent us, you owe three times as much almost. They just put out a press release the other day. The Alaska Department of Education said, those terrible feds, they're out to stick it to rural Alaska. And I'm thinking, wait, that plan about five categories of small, remote, rural districts with lots of poor kids all spread out that you just aren't even going to look at, the ones who don't count. Who submitted that again? Oh, wait, the Alaska Department of Education submitted that. It's the feds sticking it to rural Alaska? Man, the sieve says the colander leaks.
Well, I'm glad that I could get your response on that. We don't have too much time left, so I wanted to at least get some positives in there because coverage has been a little rough, I think, on a lot of topics lately. So give me some of the wins you've seen lately on the Senate side of things.
Well, I mean, the biggest win is we are working like crazy to deliver another balanced budget this year. We balanced the budget last year with no drawn savings. We're on track to do that again this year with a reasonable PFD, right? Something like you take that sustainable draw so that we're protecting the permanent fund, split that 75-25. I think we can do that this year. That's my goal. That delivers about a $1,300, $1,400 PFD check, right? And reasonable services. That includes the education money. So that's a really big deal. We're making progress on that. There have been a bunch of bills that are moving, good legislation. One of them is to help support farms in Alaska. I passed an amendment on the Senate floor. We're including mariculture in that, right? So that that growing industry here in Southeast Alaska and around the Prince William Sound coast, right, that has the opportunity to prosper and do better. There was another bill that just passed and actually is headed to the governor's desk. The Fishermen's Fund's like workers' comp for commercial fishermen. It's actually older than the workers' comp system, but the benefits haven't been adjusted in a long time. So your maximum payout was $5,000. That's going way, way up. Try to help deal with injuries, to help deal with people who lose their ability to earn a living on the water. That's a bipartisan, bicameral, everybody's for it bill. So there's some good legislation, important work getting done. And then, of course, the other thing is, early this session, we passed the pension bill out of the Senate. It is in the House. It's in a committee there. We're getting some new actuarial runs so that we can get that bill moving. I'm still optimistic that we're going to be able to put a pension bill on the governor's desk. I can't guarantee it, but that's a priority, and there's good progress on that this session. So along with a whole bunch of other stuff, I haven't gotten to the bills I'm sponsoring, all of which are genius, by the way. But there is good work getting done, and some of my bills are moving along with those.
All righty. No, that's always interesting to hear. I'll definitely be keeping my eye out there. And I'm sure I'll be able to get a good update on the House side of things from Representative Hannon and Representative Story. But Senator Keel, I think that'll about wrap it up. I don't have anything else really to ask you, but I do want to thank you for taking the time to come in. It's always a pleasure talking with you and getting an update on what's going on in the Senate side of the legislature.
Pleasure's mine, Jordan. Enjoy your week.
All righty. You've been listening to Action Line on KINY.